Encore with Claire O'Brien, arts and entertainment for the Midlands.
And you're very welcome to Encore this evening. And every Thursday night, as you know, we bring you the best of what's happening in the arts in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. Encore at Midlands103.com is the email address. And the Lamb Brothers Midlands 103 text line is, as always, 083 3010 103. Do drop us a line. Great show ahead for you tonight. Some really interesting guests. Very shortly, I'll be talking to Shane Barkey and the director of a really interesting piece of theatre that is coming to the Mullingar Arts Centre in the next little while. It's called The Dreaming, and it translates a play, translates a novel into a play. It's a really exciting story. We'll be hearing a little, sorry, it translates a play into a kind of a musical. We'll hear a little bit more about it from the men who really know a little bit later in the programme. We'll also be talking to one of the artists who is one of 47 artists from Laois, Offaly and Westmeath who are involved in the Incognito Art Sale. And I don't know if you have heard about this before because we've covered it on the programme, and it involves the sale of artworks. You choose three online. You don't know who has made them. They're postcard sized pieces of work from artists from all over the country, some really high profile artists, 47 of them from the Midlands. And when the lottery is done and everything is done on the 24th of April, you may have received one, two or three of your chosen pieces by lottery. This year, the people who are making some of those postcards are Jerry Hall, Heidi Higgins from Laois, Simone Rocha is there, Philip Tracy, PJ Gallagher, Brian Kennedy, Hugh Wallace and Thelma Mansfield. Thelma is a well-known artist in her own right. But it's a really interesting competition, and we'll be a fundraiser for the Jack and Jill Foundation. I will be talking to Hazel Green, who is one of those artists, and to one of the organisers as well. And we'll also be talking to Carol Ann Copeland. And Carol Ann is behind the Carousel Prize, and since 2016, the Carousel Aware Prize for independent authors has been in place to recognise those writers who self-publish. And their patron this year is Paul Lynch, the Booker Prize winner. So Carol Ann will be telling us a little bit about that and what you can do as a published writer, a self-published writer with an independent press, and how you can be in the running for that competition. And she'll be joining us a little bit later on in the programme. The Dreaming is something we'll be talking about very soon, which is a really good opportunity, I think, for us to play a little bit of Fleetwood Mac. And this is Dreams. Any excuse, says you. You're listening to Encore on Midlands 103.
Encore with Find Local Jobs. Find your perfect work-life balance at findlocaljobs.ie. Midlands
103. Greg, you're so welcome to Encore
me,
this evening.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, your own background in musical theatre, because
course,
it is absolutely
yeah.
your
course.
Passion.
Yeah, so musical theatre is by far my favourite thing in the world. My history is tours and regional productions of various musicals throughout the UK and Ireland. And maybe about 10 years ago, I decided to come back and settle down here, and I'm delighted to be working in the musical theatre circuit over here, which is growing and growing, you know, every day. It's a fab place to be.
So this is a show that you have an affiliation
yes.
with, but it's not one that most of us are familiar with.
No,
it's 10 years old, I think. It's 20 actually, years old.
Yes, yeah, it is 20 years old. And it was originally written for the Youth Music Theatre in London by Howard Goodall. Howard Goodall, who is a really fantastic composer that we probably would know more for a lot of his television work. He did all of the theme tunes for Blackadder, The Vicar Vicar of Dibley, Red Dwarf, and for those of us that are probably a slight bit older, even 2.4 Children, and lots of old stuff like that. Also, Mr. Bean, Johnny English movies. So he's fantastic, and that's aside from his choral work, which is just beautiful. And if you do come and see The Dreaming on the 2nd and 3rd of May, you will hear this beautiful choral work. The choral work is led by our co-MD, Miss Helen Hassett. Hassett, who we are so proud to have on the team. She's a renowned soprano, and she's an absolute asset to our team. One of a few.
Your passion, it comes across in waves. Tell us a little bit about the storyline of the musical and why particularly it speaks to you as one that you want to bring to the stage in Mullingar.
Well, it's for a couple of reasons. So the musical itself is obviously based on Shakespeare. I'm a big Shakespeare fan in general. In the Arts Centre itself, they have a lot of beautiful musicals going out on throughout the year. Last week, they had a run of Les Miserables. So what I wanted to do as a new kind of company, you know, a people's production, I wanted to bring something in that perhaps wouldn't have been brought into our area before, something that is maybe a little bit niche, but yet is so accessible to the whole family.
Yeah.
So the story of A Midsummer Night's Dream is such an enchanting one, and the journeys that you go on with them. I mean, it's a really beautiful show. I could go on for hours, Claire. I could.
And I suppose when you're coming to Mullingar, you're coming to an audience that is really used to theatre and used to musical theatre, as you say. So they're ready for something like this that they haven't seen before.
Sure. And to be honest, we're so lucky with the talent we have in town. So as I say, it's a community cast. We had auditions back at the end of January, and we were just so delighted to see the room fill up. I think we had nearly 100 applicants to come and join the show.
Okay.
So we managed to whittle it down, and we have the most beautiful cast. Age, ranging in age from maybe 11 years old up to, well, I don't think it would be polite to say, but up to a little older anyway.
A little older. And what were you looking for when you're sitting there as a very experienced musical director, putting together a community cast? What are you looking for in those auditions?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking for a sense of dedication. I think you can tell when somebody comes in if they really, you know, have that time and that commitment, because it's a massive, as you know, it's a massive commitment to come together as a community and do anything like that. Obviously, a bit of talent doesn't go astray either. So really, passion is the first thing, because for me, the idea was to get the community to be able to come together and do something, not as a sense of, you know, a lot of the times when you do amateur theatre, there's a real sense of us and them, you know, like the directors and then the cast. Whereas this kind of isn't the case. We've all come together, and even on a fundraising level, we've managed to get sponsors. Our main sponsor is indeed Bloomfield Hotel in Mullingar, who have been very, very generous amongst so many others, Claire.
And it's a difficult time to get sponsorship, and obviously shows like this are enormous, and every year when we talk to the different musical societies, they talk about how expensive it is in terms of costume, in terms of set, and all of that, and it is a huge undertaking for two nights.
And exactly, so it was in my head, I probably, you know, I should have maybe done a few extra nights, but I wanted to leave the public wanting more. I'd rather have two nights that, you know, you had to rush to get a ticket and people would say you were there or you weren't. And then perhaps, you know, next year, if this goes as wonderfully well as it is, you know, next year, then perhaps we could do a little longer if we like. But it really is lovely. We do hope to see you there, Claire.
And in terms of the story, and it's very likely that you will. And in terms of the storyline, you say it's an interpretation of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Give us a sense of what that song that we heard at the beginning, Thursday's Children, how that brings us into the familiar yet slightly different world of the dreaming.
Absolutely. That's a brilliant way of putting it, actually, because that's exactly what it is. So, yeah, it's pretty much in parallel with A Midsummer Night's Dream. We have a couple of names names that are changed and a couple of slightly different situations. But if we were going to give a quick synopsis of what's happening, is the show starts, we meet Jack. So Jack is who would have been singing Thursday's Children there. Jack is about 12 years old. In our production, we are very lucky to have a young lad called Finn O'Reilly, who is just one to watch out for. Mm. He's got a stunning voice, beautiful dancer, wonderful actor. And we follow Jack as he goes into the woods and he comes across Angel. And Angel has got a bit of devilment in him. Angel would be the equivalent of the Oberon character in A Midsummer Night's Dream. And between them, they cast some potions and incantations and create a bit of devilment for the night. Some lovers coming into the forest, people end up falling in love with other people, and it's very dramatic.
In true Shakespearean
yes,
fashion.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then at the end, we all come together and they all meet their own conclusion. But it's the reason I chose the show, Claire, is because it really, it's a rare thing with a musical that it has such an effect. Anybody who has seen the show has come out of it, you know, spellbound by what they've seen, because musically it takes you on such a journey. It really is something special, I think. I may be biased, but I think.
You're allowed to be biased. In this, you've had 100 people audition for it. And how many are in the cast and in the chorus as well? Then?
Absolutely. So we are just under 50 in the cast and the crew, which is, you know, really, really stunning. And a lot of young people all currently training. A lot of our dancers are going off to different colleges in Dublin this next year. So really serious about their craft, which for me is the most exciting thing.
Yes, this is where your background is.
For sure.
And what have you seen since the end of January? Which, and it feels like such a short time. I was counting the months there in my head and
yes,
I realised, well, that's actually 3 months, but still that doesn't seem very long.
No.
How have you seen them progress?
Oh, wow. Well, that's the exciting thing. So I must mention our creative team in general. So obviously I've spoken about the wonderful Helen Hassett. So we have a choreographer and visual director by the name of Georges Matos. This amazing guy that appeared from Brazil a couple of years ago with a really, really fantastic background in dance and performance art. Visually, what he's brought to this is something special. So watching the cast work with him and start to really understand his concept and what he's visually trying to create is really stunning for me, because I must admit, you know, whenever you're doing shows like this and say you have a 3 or 4 month period, there is always that period in the middle at about 2 months where you think, oh gosh, what am I doing? Like, is this all going to be all right? And actually, you know, between the team, between Georges, Helen, and I must also mention Angelica DeBara. She is our costume mistress, but not just our costume mistress. She's also been an integral part of sponsorship, of cast morale. So the team that we've managed to create is just, you know, I'm really happy with it. It couldn't have gone better, you know.
In every way, the production and the choice of the show and the bringing together of all these members of the community, it all feels like a very magical leap of faith.
Yes, I think so. You know, it kind of was a bit of a leap of faith, because with my passion lying with musicals in general, it was probably around Christmas time. I was sitting thinking to myself, in Mullingar, there was no show coming up with a live orchestra, no musical. And that's where my passion is. You know, that moment where the lights go down and, you know, the music strikes, that couldn't be more exciting to me. So I thought my mission this year is to create that in some capacity, which, you know, that's exactly what we're doing.
Well, we're going to wish you the very best of luck
with
that on the
so
2nd
much.
And the 3rd
Thank
of
you.
May in Mullingar Arts Centre. And let us hope that it is the first of many.
Thank you.
And
we
that the audience
so.
gets a sense of excitement from it, in a sense we'd like to hear a little bit more from this crew, from Greg Peters and all that he can bring to the stage. It won't be just two nights next year, please God. It's called The Dreaming. You can get tickets through Mullingar Arts Centre and through their website. It's on the 2nd and the 3rd of May. Greg Peters and Shane there in the background, thank you so much for coming in
thank
this evening.
Thank you for having me. Thank
You're
you.
Most welcome.
See
it's
you
been
there,
a pleasure.
Claire.
It's been a pleasure. We are going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, we are going to do something incognito. Stay with us.
Encore, in association with Find Local Jobs. Need to give your career some tender love and care? Make the next move at findlocaljobs.ie.
Midlands 103. And you're very welcome back to Encore. Well, it's a really special event that happens around about this time every year, and it is the Incognito Art Event, and it is a fundraiser for the Jack and Jill Foundation. And if you can be part of the excitement of it, it is truly something very, very exciting. And somebody who is one of the 47 artists involved in it this year is Hazel Green. And Hazel, as you probably know, is a hugely experienced and highly sought after textile artist, particularly based in County Offaly. And she joins us on the programme. Hazel, you are very welcome to Encore this evening.
Thanks, Claire. It's lovely to talk to you.
And to you too. Tell me a little bit about, is this your first time, first of all, to be involved in this?
No, this is my seventh year.
Your seventh year.
Yeah. It's a lovely, lovely charity to support. The event itself is lovely, and the work that it supports is extremely worthwhile. It's excellent. People have described it as giving a gift of time, because basically the money raised by the charity pays for nursing hours in people's own homes for children. So it's lovely. So for me, it starts every year when we get our postcards to paint, to draw, to do whatever we want to do on, and then we have to send them back by, I think it's the 1st of February, for them to be uploaded to the website, ready for the auction.
Oh, and the auction is just so exciting, isn't it? To have so many pieces of work to look through and to choose. It's really exciting. Tell me about how you prepare for producing this tiny little perfect piece of work, because it's only postcard sized.
Yeah, it's postcard sized. And for me, it comes at an absolutely perfect time of the year, because I do it over the Christmas, New Year holiday. So for me, that's a lovely time for planning what you want to do for the year and how you're going to approach your work, what projects you're going to do. So any new ideas that I'm playing with, Jack and Jill are the first ones to get it. So it's basically the first pieces of my new work for the year. And then I go on to produce usually a series of paintings, and certainly textile designs, which, you know, I print into silk scarves. So, so they become fashion pieces. So that's how I start.
Okay. And tell me about the kind of pieces of work then that you have produced in the past for this. And what makes that tiny little canvas so unique, because your textile pieces are obviously the repeating patterns over a large piece of fabric, a scarf or something lovely. But this is a much more intricate and intimate almost kind of piece of work, isn't it?
It is. But most of my work, all my work really starts with drawing, with sketching. And I'm a member of a couple of life drawing groups or figure drawing groups. We've a new one start up in Burr Theatre on Mondays. So we go in and practice our drawing. So all my pieces start with drawing, and it's usually for me a female figure. And then I layer on some clothing onto her, that sort of thing. So most of my pieces, although they end up quite big, about 2 meters in size, they often start with a small sketch or a sketch of a person, hopefully portraying something or in a mood, or if I can get movement, even better still. And I can't tell you anything about this year's pieces. They've already gone on to become fabric designs, but the postcards are all brand new and hiding amongst the 3,000 others.
Well, of course, this is a part of the whole purpose of being incognito there. Do you ever have a look through those 3,000 pieces yourself and say to yourself, ooh, I'd like something there?
Oh, yeah. And what I try to do, because obviously I know a lot of other people that paint and help this particular charity. And you'd be hard-pressed. You think sometimes you've discovered a person's piece or a friend's piece. Or I was out the other night and a local person that also supports a charity, and he says, I haven't spotted your pieces yet. But yeah, but it's lovely to browse through them and see that there's loads of different styles and subjects. And, you know, some you say, oh, that's very nice, you know, and then you do wonder how they create it in such a small size, because it is only, I think it's 5 by 7 inches. It is postcard size. So so to get that detail is wonderful.
And you have little pieces hanging on your wall that you have managed to win. Because certainly I find that a really exciting. And I know you know, the way the system works, and I don't think it has changed, is that you go in and you kind of book the pieces that you would like, up to three pieces. And if you're lucky, you will get one, two, or three of them. So you really have to be careful in that group of 3,000 that you've picked something that you like. And then the reveal happens.
Yeah. It's in the very early days, it was in person pre COVID.
Right.
And they used to display all the pieces in the gallery, and you'd go in, and on the day of sale, it was really first come, first served, first person in the queue.
That's
and
right,
there were long
I'd forgotten
queues.
That.
Yeah. But now, of course, you can't really do that online. So it became an auction and a selection. So, yes, I mean, I've never known anybody be disappointed with the pieces.
No.
I mean, it's easy pick out. Oh, you could easily pick out a dozen pieces that you'd be happy with, and many more. So, and when you get it home and you see who it is, you often get contact from someone that's bought it, or somebody wants to say hello to you afterwards, and then they frame up the pieces as well, and it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. I'm looking now at the incognito.ie. website, and looking at the artworks, and struck again, as I always am, by the variety and the loveliness of what is there.
Yeah. There really is something for everybody. I think anything that can be portrayed on a 2D piece of, well, I actually paint mine on paper on a heavy watercolor paper, and then attach that to the postcard. So we can do that, so long as we stay within the size. But yes, it's interesting to see what people do. And I know at some stages, you know, you'd be playing with works, and you'd be trying works, and parts of it would work, and some parts wouldn't. And some parts you could cut out to be a nice 5 by 7 piece.
From having looked at the pieces and, you know, looking at the names of those who are involved in the project this year, and I, you know, we see names like, let me find them again, people like PJ Gallagher, Hugh Wallace, Brian Kennedy, Chupi Sweetman, Philip Tracy, you'd expect to be able to draw, Heidi Higgins, you'd expect to be able to draw. And Simone Rocha, Colin Murphy there, the comedian, Jerry Hall. Some of them you'd say to yourself, OK, well, I can imagine that Heidi Higgins and Thelma Mansfield can paint.
Yes.
She's a beautiful artist.
Yeah.
But I'm saying to myself, well, you know, Jerry Hall, she must be able to draw or to be able to paint. PJ Gallagher must be able to draw or to be able to paint. But as I look through the work, I don't see anything that is stick figures or amateurish, because no. All of the work is so lovely.
No, and it all has its own personality, and it's just. And if somebody asks you to do a piece like that, I'm sure you give loads of thought to it, I'm sure people have their own doodling practice as well as their professional sketching, and it's just lovely to see the variety of pieces, and the very fact that each piece. All that, I think €65 per piece, and that full €65 goes towards nursing care.
None of it goes to the artists. Obviously, people know that.
No.
It's all straight to the. You volunteer your work.
Yes, absolutely. And the work that's done behind the scenes and get everything in. And registered and then posted again.
Yeah, and Lucinda Hall, who is the curator, would have been. We're hoping to speak to her tonight. The fault is at my end that I wasn't.
No, she
able
does
to get
wonderful
She's
work.
She's phenomenal.
She really does.
And I know if she was with us. Sorry.
She does wonderful work, and she keeps on top of us. We'll get our once we've registered. We'll get our reminder emails, because I'm sure of the 3,300 pieces there, 3,000 of them come in the last week.
Well, this is how life works, isn't it? It must be a stressful job. But I know if she was with us, she would be telling us about some of the work that happens across the Midlands. And there are 24 children in Leash Offaly and West Meath who are being cared for by the Jack and Jill Children's Foundation, children ages between... from newborn to 6 years of age, with some of them with very highly complex medical needs and who are at home with their parents.
And to give those parents the support, even if it's to spend time with another child that's in the family or just to leave the house for an hour, you know, it's to know that somebody is caring for your child and able to do that and willing to do that. And it's just so worthwhile, you know, to help the people, because, I mean, they're for the grace of God, you know.
It is a win-win situation. It's a win for the person who gets a little piece of art. It's a win for the Jack and Jill Foundation and for the families. So if you happen to have, if you're out there and you have €65 that you would like to invest in it, in the thrill of winning a piece of getting a piece of art.
And certainly select more than one, because
definitely.
You might not get the one you want.
No, I got caught that the first time online. Hazel, thank you so much for talking to us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And we hope your piece goes to a good home. We know it'll grace
the
walls
always,
there.
Always a worry for the artist. I hope my piece goes.
I'm sure it'll
but
go.
Luckily,
I'm sure it will.
Everything has gone. But speaking generally for artists, it's exciting for us too.
It is.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Thank you for talking to us.
Lovely.
And that is Hazel Green. incognito.ie is the website. If you go along there, you will be able to set up your account. You'll be able to look through all of those images and choose the ones that you would like and be registered for the moment when the, I'm going to call it a draw, but when the magic happens that allows pieces of work to be assigned to various different people. There are over 1,200 artists. There are over 3,000 pieces of work. They're postcard size, and your support in that will make an enormous difference to the life of somebody in your community who is in a really, really difficult situation. incognito.ie is the email address, is the website address. We're going to take a quick break here on Encore on Midlands 103. And when we come back, we'll be chatting to Caroline Copland of the Carousel Aware Prize.
Encore, thanks to Find Local Jobs. Take training seriously. Find great courses in your area now at findlocaljobs.ie. Midlands 103.
And you're very welcome back to Encore. Now, you're very familiar with lots of literary prizes, the Booker Prize, the Costa Prize, lots of those. But in order to be considered for those competitions, you have to be with a publishing house. So what do you do if you're one of the many people like Gary Colton, for example, who was with us not too long ago in studio and spoke to us about his new book? Well, is there a prize for independent authors? And there absolutely is. And it is called the Carousel O'Ware Prize for Independent Authors. And the lady behind it is Caroline Copeland. And she joins me on the line. Caroline, you're very welcome to Encore on Midlands 103.
Hello, Claire. Thank you very much for having me. It's lovely to speak to you.
And it's a pleasure to have you. Tell us a little bit about the competition and the patron that you have this year, who is Paul Lynch, Booker Prize winner.
That's right, yes. After a chat with Paul, actually, earlier in the year, he was very interested in what he called brave and original writing. So quite often when somebody writes something and a publisher decides not to take the risk on their work, it's usually because it's something different that's not definitely going to, go with the flow of what's up and coming out there. And they have to decide to self-publish their work. And I always think when I'm reading something, it gives readers the chance to read something that's a little bit different, a little bit quirky, a little bit out there and brave than what is available in the shops from traditional publishing all the time. And I think Paul believed in that and said he would like to put his name against it. So was happy to become the patron for the CAP Awards.
And what was your inspiration in setting up the competition?
Well, I am a self-published author. I have three books published independently. I use assisted publishing because my tech skills are not exactly brilliant. But so having done that, it is really, really difficult as a self-published author, independently published, to get your name out there. It used to be a little bit easier. Recently, in the last few years, it's become more and more difficult. So what really it needed was something to put a sticker on those books that said, you know, bringing indie publishing, the best of indie publishing, bringing the cream to the top, basically. And it needed an award to do that. It needed something to say, for people to be able to say my book was longlisted, shortlisted, or that it won an award in the various categories within the CAP Awards. So I decided to set that up. And also, I wanted to do something for the charity AWARE, the mental health charity, because my own family, as a family, we use the services of AWARE a lot, and I wanted to give something back to them. So putting the two of them together, we set up the Carousel AWARE Prize, and all the submission, all the profits from the CAP Awards all go towards the AWARE charity.
You're in the same boat as somebody like Kate Moss, who set up the Women's Fiction Award, finding that gap where there are people who need to be recognised in their creative field and making the space for that awarding to happen. Over the last number of years since 2016, since you started, what impact have you seen the CAP Prize having on some of those independent writers who have won or who have been nominated or who have found themselves recognised?
Well, some people have gone on to be published traditionally. That's the route they choose to go down afterwards. Some people have just, it's given their work that recognition that they were looking for, that it deserved, and they have moved along to create more work, to write more books, and continue in their indie publishing role. So various paths that people go down, changing to sometimes to script writing also, to go down different routes. But the one thing I've found with people who have been able to say, I have been shortlisted, longlisted, or I have been a winner of the CAP Award, it just changes the way that people are looking at their books and their writing, and it almost gives people permission to pick up a self-published book and say, yes, I think I'll give this one a go, and with good results.
And you are involved this year, or involved with you this year, is our own wonderful Dolores Keaveney, who is one of the most terrific children's writers that we have in this area.
She's absolutely amazing. I love working with Dolores. We worked together last year on the CAP Awards as well. She brings such a fresh outlook to it. She works very, very hard to make the CAP Awards a success, as do all the committee. There are 8 people on the committee of the awards, and they all work very, very hard. None of the committee, because of everything that goes towards the awards, goes to charity. None of the committee work for any monetary award, and all the judges are giving their time for nothing. And we have a lot of sponsors, sponsorship that people are, you know, people are very good at giving up their time. But Dolores has been fantastic at, you know, giving her experience in the publishing, self-publishing, and her talent as a writer and illustrator of the Queen Bee books and all the other books that she's written. She's so much to give, and she is so good at giving, and so kind.
Yeah, she's a powerhouse, and we're so proud of her.
She is a powerhouse, an absolute powerhouse. I hope you are.
We very much are.
I think she's wonderful.
She is indeed. So tell me finally, Caroline, if I am an independently published writer and I would like to be considered this year for the CAP Awards, what should I do?
Well, first of all, go onto the website, because that's where you'll get all the information. So that's capawards.ie. And you'll find how to enter the competition and all the background to the competition, and lots of information about people who have won awards last year and where they are now. Again, why we're running the competition and what we would like to see happen with independent publishing. So it'll all be there on capawards.ie.
Fantastic. Caroline, thanks so much for talking to us. And we might chat to you again about some of the winners. I really appreciate you're taking
Wonderful.
The time to talk to us this evening.
And I appreciate your interest. Thank you very much, Claire.
It's been a pleasure. So that is the CAP Awards. And we have so many independently published writers in the Midlands. If you are one, if you know one, let them know to get themselves out there and in the running for a CAP Award. That is it from Encore for this evening. I think the great Joe Cooney is in the building. I hope he is, because he'll be here with you after the news at 8 o'clock with the best of Irish and American country music. I'll be back in this seat again next week. Till then, take care of yourself. Good night.